Listen on Demand, brought to you by 680 News.
So, Kelly, thanks for coming in today, and looking forward to your show at the revamped GFL 42, which sounds like a pretty exciting lineup this year. Tell me a little bit about exactly what you do. Now, I know you do the Home Companion.
Yes, a Carlin Home Companion is my. It's a one-woman show, and it's a multimedia experience. I play some of my dad's videos, famous videos from all of his HBO specials, and a couple little clips from television. But really, the show is a storytelling show, and I tell stories about my parents meeting in 1960 in Dayton, Ohio, and I tell crazy stories about the 60s and 70s when they were experimenting with drugs, or no longer experimenting, and and deeply embedded in them, and then go on throughout my life, my relationship with my parents, and my own finding my way and finding my voice, and kind of always bouncing it up against my dad and his journey as as a comedian and his stage persona versus the at-home dad.
Wow. Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a big story, and I'm sure there's a lot of aspects to it. And I imagine not all of it is comedy.
No, it is not. I'm not the Carrie Fisher of One Woman Show, where, you know, she's really into the humor and the laugh a minute of it. There's some very poignant sections. I mean, my mother dies, my father dies. There's some intense emotions that happen in any family. It really is, in some way, a typical American family story, even though it's very atypical. But, you know, we're dealing with all the things that a lot of families deal with, and we're dysfunctional just like everyone else. And yet there's a lot of love, and that's really what comes across.
And your father was so loved on stage. I guess I have to ask you, what was he like when he wasn't on stage?
He was a very normal guy. I mean, very kind, generous man, compassionate, listens, but also a busy, you know, he was a busy artist. He was one of those people who sacrificed a lot of his time for his work, was on the road a lot. And when he was at home, he was writing a lot in his office by himself. So he was a dad who worked. And, you know, many people can relate to that, you know, the dad that wasn't there. And he kind of was like that. But when he was there, he was really present. It was always fun to be around him. But he wasn't one of those guys that, you know, hey, needed to be the guy, center of attention. Never that guy, you know, was very humble about what he did and who he was. But we did have fun as a family. We laughed a lot.
Was he as passionate about social causes in real life as he was in his acts?
You know, he was more the kind of guy who would give a homeless guy a $100 bill. He was that guy. He would also do a lot of benefits for friends, medical issues, things like that, comedians. He would go off and do a quiet little benefit. I remember the good old Hands Across America Day. It was somewhere in like the 80s, and I actually got him to come and do that with us. You know, he didn't go to political rallies and do that stuff. He, you know, in 72, he kind of gave up on his country and on mainstream politics. And he never voted after McGovern lost to Nixon in 72. So I think he decided that his work was really going to be outside of the mainstream and to do whatever. You know, he wasn't a guy who like thought he was there to change minds. He was really wanted to make people laugh, but clearly he was a man who did change minds in many ways. So I think he did his work the way he wanted to.
Yeah, it all came through in his work. Absolutely.
Huge
yes. Influence. Okay, any big detrimental influence on you from hearing swear words at a very young age?
No. Language is language. They're words. Intention behind words are really what matters. That's what my father taught me. And he taught me that there are rules at school and there are rules at other people's homes. And you won't want to use them there because you'll break the rules. But no, I mean, words don't make you a bad person. Being a bad person makes you a bad person. So, no, I think, I think people sometimes got uncomfortable. Like my dad would be on stage and he would be doing those words and I would be a little kid in the audience. People would turn around and look at me like, what's the kid doing here? So sometimes I felt a little uncomfortable about making other people uncomfortable. But I really cherish my dad's approach to language and certainly, you know, in a broad way, what he did with language on stage was always funny and fascinating and so educational.
Does it strike you as ironic? And I guess it must. These days, things are so liberal. And yet when your dad was first getting onto the stage and saying some of these things. It was so outrageous. Today, nobody would blink an eye.
No. Well, he really was, you know, certainly a groundbreaker for all of that. I mean, he stood on Lenny Bruce's shoulders, and most of the comics these days stand on my dad and Richard Pryor's shoulders because of that. It is a change of the times. You know, now there's other things that we feel uncomfortable about. Not much these days, but I think it's a good thing to be open and to not be worried about those kind of things. So, you know, but I there's a downside too. You know, who knows?
And you do a radio show yourself regularly?
I do. I have a podcast called Waking from the American Dream. And then I have a radio show on Sirius XM where I do in-depth interviews with comedians, which I love. So, I really love this genre. It's such a fun way to spend a day.
Fantastic. And who are some of your favorite comedians right now?
I love Lewis Black. He reminds me of my dad in the sense that he's very sharp, very smart, and just is outraged by it all. Some of the kind of the more unknowns I love, Doug Stanhope, Maria Bamford. I'm always discovering new people. It seems like there's a revival or a revolution of comedy right now. Again, like there's just an upswing in it. And so it's a very exciting time. I think what Louis C.K. is doing in his show, Louis, is profound television. It's fantastic. It's poignant. It's human. It's funny. And then he goes on stage and does incredible stand-up. So he's like, right now, he's kind of like one of my heroes.
Awesome. Going back to growing up with George Carlin as a father, do you have a fondest memory of spending time with him?
Yeah, you know, it was always like the little moments in the kitchen. Being able to make my dad laugh was always a great memory. And also sitting watching TV with him. I talk briefly about it in my show, but, you know, watching the Carol Burnett show with my dad was really, Carol was a hero of mine. She and Lily Tomlin really shaped my comedic mind. But watching my dad crying hysterically because Tim Conway was trying to get Harvey Korman to break during a sketch and learning from like what your dad's laughing about and why he's laughing at it and getting the other storyline that's going on. Those really, I cherish those times. You know, making my dad laugh or watching him laugh was really, really joyful for me.
Did you understand at a young age what your father actually did for a living?
Yeah, you know, I think it's that thing where at any age, you get to like 7 or 8 years old and you figure out, oh, daddy's a plumber or mommy's a lawyer or whatever it is. And I knew there was something different. Certainly, we would go to these concert halls and people would be chanting my dad's name. And I got that there was something happening. But I also grew up in L.A., so it was kind of normal. Like, I went to school with Cher's kids. You know what I mean? So it was like, well, this is what our parents do. They just have these jobs. And it kind of hit me later as I was an adult, even thinking about it. Like, oh, yeah, I guess that was kind of just normal for me. So I did understand it and knew it was different. And yet, he's just my dad at the same time. Normal guy dad.
Yeah. How hard was it for you when he got arrested?
I tell the story in my show, actually. It was very frightening. Very frightening. I was about 9 years old, and it was a very confusing, scary time because it was very much the country was very divided. It was the freaks versus the squares, basically, is how they used to say it. And we were on the side of the freaks, which means the law was on the other side. And I knew my dad had drugs. I knew my dad carried drugs. So there was a lot of things that were scary around that. And then when he got arrested for language at that time, it was, you know, I was young. I didn't know what was really happening. Are they going to take him away forever? Is this, you know, so it was startling and terrifying and, you know, and just another crazy story from my life also.
Wow. Yeah. It reminds me of when Tommy Chong was in and he told me the story about him, you know, coming into his house and he's in bed with his wife and just, you know, horrific. Really,
yeah.
Just horrific.
Yeah.
Thing. And for what?
Yeah,
you know?
I know, especially for these things that, you know, we at least don't believe are really hurting the culture or society. But back then, you know, using language in front of women and children at an outdoor fair. I mean, that's where my dad got arrested, was in Milwaukee. You know, I can understand, but, you know, it was intense. It was very intense. Yeah.
Things are pretty intense in America right now. What's your take on the whole presidential race and the outrageous things going on there?
I worry for the planet. I worry for the country. I don't know how we're ever going to be able to sit down again and have a conversation with each other. The name of my podcast is Waking from the American Dream, because I really do believe that we need to find a way to have another conversation about wealth, money, how we take care of each other, how we converse with each other. The culture wars are just so divisive and so unnecessary. And the overt racism around Obama it's intense. So it's very intense. And I sometimes get drawn into it. I'm on Twitter a lot and I get drawn into it a little bit. And then I regret it because I'm a person who likes to stand back like my dad and look at the big picture. My dad never really he did pick sides, but he'd make fun of the environmentalists as much as he would as the people on the right. You know, he would make fun of everyone. So I try to also, that's just kind of inbred in who I am. Look at the big picture. What's the bigger conversation that we need to be having in this country, on this planet? So when I get sucked into the partisan stuff, I get frustrated with myself because you sucked me in again. And yet not standing up for yourself and for truth, for facts. Just basic facts is important because it's a slippery slope into fascism. So it's intense. It's very intense to be American right now. Really is. And you guys, too. You got it going on here, too. It's kind of crazy everywhere.
It is. And it's good to talk about it and good that you do so on your show. That's great.
I try.
Fantastic. Kelly Carlin, great speaking with you. Look forward to your shows at the JFL 42.
Thank you.